Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the mechanic voice of your local announcer coming to you from radio vicinity. If you prefer for eating, we have condensed milk, snowballs under the age of 2, N and C cayenne peppers. That's the cayenne peppers that come from all over the world, North America and South America. And here we are with all of these little pieces of chuckle items for use in working our way towards the walking into of the actual radio studio. Here we are. And here also with us is Marianne, my wife.
Hi.
Who, the second she walks into the studio, suddenly appears to be 16 years younger than she doesn't appear to have been 16 minutes before that.
When should I jump in and help you out?
I'm right down the middle.
A long time ago. Hi there. Good weekend. A lot of eating over the weekend.
A lot of eating over the weekend.
Too much eating.
Yeah.
Yes.
By the way, Doug came in here and fixed all of this in a way he said should not be touched.
Yes. So, well, except that you set my headset for you, which is really too loud.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
Gail Borden
has something to do with Borden's,
yep.
And I thought that Borden's was a local company. So does that mean that Gail Borden is a local person or was a local person who was condensed milk invented here today? I'm going to have to do a little investigation on this.
Never was, as far as I know.
Tell you what, though, condensed milk is sort of, I won't say near and dear to my heart, because until I met you, I didn't know that cream did not necessarily come in a can.
In a can, yeah.
Yes.
There's a famous poem on that matter, but I don't think we ought to be telling it on the radio.
Oh, well, Tom, if you think that, I think that you should go with that you should go with that instinct, for heaven's sake, yes. Anyway, the famous mac and cheese that has been passed down mm-hmm. through my family was my mother's recipe. And, of course, as most things that she cooked originated in a can.
Mm-hmm.
So, so condensed milk was part of the recipe, and she would put... It's a wonder I'm alive now that I think about it, you know, all the trans fats and such. But it was macaroni, it was margarine, condensed milk with – she did do real cheese. So so that was the way we started off with mac and cheese. And when I married you, I moved – it was so enlightening to see that you could get actual fresh cream. I mean, not fresh, of course, you know, not right out of the cow, but it didn't have to be in a can. And I would go to the store and get cream, and it was just like this great discovery. And then, of course, we moved our
– headquarters.
No, we moved
–
you know, I don't even know. I don't think I ever did do the butter – or margarine, certainly not margarine, but I don't think I ever even did butter with my macaroni and cheese. The macaroni and cheese that I do is so, so simple. It's just cheese and cream and macaroni. That's it. And I skipped the margarine or butter stage that my mother did, and certainly the condensed milk. But when I think of condensed milk, that's what I think of. I think of my mother's macaroni and cheese. Now, another condensed milk recipe that was really, really popular. I don't know if it still is. I'm sure it is still pretty popular, but it's that it's the graham crackers, the chocolate chips.
Graham
crackers.
Graham crackers.
Chocolate chips. coconut and condensed milk baked together. Does anyone know the name of that item? And do you do that? And if you do, are you still doing that? Because that was really hot back in the 80s.
Can I
It's probably on a can of condensed milk.
I'm sure it's.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to go look to see if we have a can of condensed milk that's probably been sitting there for 15 years.
Yeah.
And see if that recipe is on there. Go ahead. What?
I was going to ask you, and now it's kind of gone off my my brain. What little brain I have. I could shift over to something else here. There are two things that are often confused with one another: evaporated milk and condensed milk. They're two different things.
Oh, okay. Well, what is the difference?
Oh, well, if you were to open up the evaporated milk.
Oh, that's like the powdered stuff.
No, it's liquid, but it's fairly thin, relatively speaking, and you could pour it right out of a small hole in the side of the can and just jingle it into your cup of coffee, which is what it's used for probably more than anything else. And then you have condensed milk, which is much thicker and is used for a lot of cooking.
That's what my mom used it for.
And also there is a cadre of people around the world who believe that the best way to deal with condensed milk is you take the can and you put the entire unopened can into your activated oven at about 350 degrees. And at some point, the can actually blows up. And once you're finished with that, then you feed everybody and then you leave.
And what is the purpose of that?
It what you wind up with is a really, really thick product. But beyond that, but before you even get there,
of course,
but with the condensed milk, where it really blows up, I was exaggerating, but not by much. And it pops open the top. It gets a texture that you could spread with a knife.
Don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home.
Don't try
absolutely, because people do write to me or call
now,
to
are
me.
Are you all starting
to
understand why I don't listen to Tom? Because you've been saying that for 30 years. I think people may be starting to understand why I don't listen to you.
A minute.
My wife doesn't listen to me.
Here you go, folks.
If you're wondering, this is why. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. We are already on the Gourmet Gazetteer, so that means if you would like to call us, we would love to have you. We have gobs of restaurant reports from the weekend.
Yeah.
It was a heavy, heavy eating weekend.
It was for you and for me and
a
for everybody we know,
A heavy eating
too.
Weekend. We can talk endlessly about that.
I like going out to dinner with some of our friends. Mm-hmm. Which I never thought we had ever done.
Well, I thought
often
you were gonna say, I never thought we ever had any friends.
Or any chance of getting any friends ever again either. But at the rate of getting them through condensed milk.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, they were with us a couple of days this weekend. Or was it even three? It might have been. And we got them to pick up their half of the check.
I just had the most horrifying.
What?
Experience.
Who's horrifying?
I had the most horrifying experience.
Well, for goodness sake, tell us what it is so
yes.
we can smile.
I snuck off and went to lunch today, Tom.
You did?
Yes, I did.
After
and,
you asked me if I wanted to come with
well, you said you didn't want to go. So then
I had all this work to do.
I texted to someone and we went to lunch.
Do you
and
know what I achieved at lunch today? Or right thereafter?
Yeah, you already told me.
Goobles. Wait, that's not what they call it. Is.
That sounds like a bizarre kids horror movie. Anyway, I went to La Coretta with a friend who is deranged at the concept of having someone pick up the check. I mean, deranged.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so
you know
I
who was
knew
like that?
This was going. No, you don't want to say the name, any name.
I don't want to. Would put a smile on anybody's felt, and no one would object to this.
Okay.
Every Mardi Gras, after the Mardi Gras coverage that we always did on WWL.
See, I would be embarrassed to tell this story, Tom, because you never should have let this happen.
Oh, it's not like I wasn't trying.
You never should have let this happen.
No, listen to this, folks. So we did our show from Gallier Hall, and then after that, it was my habit going back about 25, 30 years of going to the Crescent City Steakhouse, which is a great place to get a steak on any day of the week, but it certainly is on that day, and went over there. And Marianne and I sat down in one of those little booths this time. It was kind of peculiar. But what always happened is I would sneak some way by getting back into the kitchen or somehow and giving the cash that we would have spent for this Mardi Gras dinner and give it to the people there right away and say, do not give that man, there was another man here, the opportunity to let him pay for this check. I'm paying for this check myself. Here it is. I'll give you an extra one just to keep it going. Clark, the gourmet truck driver.
Yeah.
Clark, it convinced my, this was a guy who used to call us on the air all the time, always had something interesting to say. And no matter what we did, we could never work around him. And he would always get the whole check for everybody sitting at our table. No matter what we did, he always did it. And now he's gone, but that shows what kind of guy he was.
Gosh, who's going to pay the check now? Can I get back to my story?
What story?
So I'm at La Coretta, where the checks are not very big to begin with, and where I don't eat very much
Mary
anyway.
Mary Lee's favorite restaurant.
So... Huh? I knew that when the check came, this friend of mine who is, did I say, mention this, deranged about another person picking up the check. Mm-hmm. So I was hoping that she had cash, but when the check came, she put a credit card up. And so I tell the waiter, look, take this credit card. And do not split this check. Do not split this check. And so he goes for the credit, and she practically melted down in horror. I mean, it wasn't like any kind of angry horror, but it was like, okay, bad. So I said to the waiter, I said to her, look, then you pick up my check because
now that's pretty
somebody
sneaky.
Has got to pick up the check for two of us because I am not going to have this waiter split this check down the middle. And she said, but why? And I said, because it's not big enough. Okay, so when the so I insisted on the waiter, and I know the waiters. I know the waiters very well. So I said to the waiter, "Please look, just take this card and put it on." So when the check came for me to sign, it was $10. The check was $10. Yes, and I wound up giving the waiter $8 because I was so embarrassed about this. Horrendous
what
scene.
What were you getting? Pre-used bubble gum
scene.
Or something?
No, because it's cheap and I don't eat a lot there. So I just got tamale, and of course she has to get everything that I get. So then that's what, and they have free tea at lunch. It was, I knew it was going to be an embarrassing check to begin with, but my God, to split a check that's $10 with two credit cards was beyond my capacity. It just was. So
freed.
So now she's probably at home. Just shaking about the concept of someone having picked up her check, and she's going to try and figure out how to do that.
Like anyone would cure. I mean,
I think this might be an extraordinarily boring show. I'm sorry. I apologize. 260-6368.
I'll tell you what. There's some interesting stuff in the set in our web place. Tom at No Menu. Well, just put Tom.
Oh, yes. No. We have to promote that. See, this We have to start saying you have to go see the new NoMenu.com. Please go see the new NoMenu.com. Anyway, one of the things that's on NoMenu.com today is our visit to Bordeaux.
Ah.
Which was
really a funny thing.
Good.
Right off the bat, Bordeaux is the region of France, southern
France.
I know it's from France, but it's in the southerly westerly part of the country, and it is where just about all of the Cabernet Sauvignon things come from, and Merlot as well are raised around there. And that's where the name came from. But there's also a Bordeaux street here in New Orleans. So we, you know, really ought to just jump in there and start drinking, is what I seem to me. We'll come back with more of this in just a moment after first, if you will, this. Welcome back. You are listening to The Food Show. It's the only program of its kind in America, maybe even the world. I don't know. I wish there were some way to check that sort of stuff out, but it's the truth. For 31 years now, we've been doing our food show every day, and for a long, long time, it was more than every five-day week. It would go even a little farther than that, but enough bragging about moi. And getting over to the Bordeaux restaurant, which we went to, once to stick our heads in to see what it was all about. And the second one was to actually go there on Magazine Street and sit down and have dinner, which we did about a week ago, if I'm not mistaken. Something like that?
No, three days ago.
It
but
was
anyway.
3 days ago. Okay, well, I'm glad that we have
I
that
went
straight.
To. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish what you were saying.
That's it. That's.
Yeah, I went to the pantry while we were off the air, and
the pantry.
Yeah, the one we have in our house. The
an actual pantry. Oh,
yes.
I'm sorry.
And I found a can of pet evaporated milk, which I am sure is on the shelf just because a hurricane was coming and I probably bought it just to shut you up. So it's here and it has the creamy macaroni and cheese recipe, but it does not have that dessert thing that I mentioned that people were really crazy about. I was looking up Borden milk or Borden evaporated milk while we were off the air also. And I guess I'm thinking that maybe Borden is not, it's not local, that it's just the name Borden. And there happens to be one in this city because evaporated milk was discovered or created in 1854. So that's a pretty long time.
Yeah, and it's been around for a long time. It was the only way anybody had to move dairy products from one part of the country to another. So it was it got to be a very popular organization.
Yeah.
And
thinking that maybe there was a farm there at some time and it was Borden, but I am completely mistaken because I am sure in looking at this that Borden is probably just an outpost of the Borden Company, which probably is named after Gail Borden.
Yeah, that may be. And it's interesting how he spelled his name to begin with. Gail Borden, G-A-I-L, which doesn't sound like a she to begin with. It sounds like a guy. Oh, no, other
Actually,
way around. Excuse
it,
me.
It sounds like a girl.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it looks like it is now there isn't a Borden condensed milk, that it's Eagle condensed milk. But anyway, anybody cook with that? I mean, I'm sure that it would be fine. I just haven't done it ever since I had to do it for my mom in making that mac and cheese.
Okay.
I never, ever use it.
Well, let's ask for two things. One of them is, what do you do with this
car,
stuff?
Please. No, God, what?
And another one would be, have you ever used that recipe where you just take the whole can and put it in the into the oven? Do not do this.
Who in the world would do that?
They believe me,
who
they do it.
Who in the world would do that?
It doesn't add up, but I'm telling you, they do it. So don't anybody come to me and say,
if you haven't done that, I beseech you to not
do
that.
Don't do
please.
It. But
260-6368 is the number.
It usually turned up in Hispanic restaurants, strangely enough, because it was used as one of the major ingredients of making flan.
Oh, I thought you were going to say tres leches.
Tres leches is a different deal.
Oh, yeah. You know what? We could take the two first ingredients on your almanac and put them together and do something with that.
Yeah.
If you took evaporated or condensed milk and cayenne pepper together, put a little cheese in that, poured it over some macaroni, or if you did some sort of Mexican dish with it, I bet you that wouldn't be too bad.
No, no. You would make it like that. What's that appetizer everybody likes in Mexican restaurants? It's creamy, and you can add...
Queso.
Queso is the...
maybe that's what queso is.
I think it might
is.
Be. And the queso part of it is actually the sausage part of
when
the
hot we get
sauce.
Queso at Coretta, the bill is a little higher than $10 for two people.
Oh, well, let's put a stop to that.
But we don't get it anymore because it's too fattening. Gosh, there was a time when we just couldn't even think beyond the queso at Coretta. And everybody knew what we were going to order, so they just brought it to the table when we sat down. But now we've gone past that. We've moved past that, mainly because the chips are fried. Anyway, this is so incredibly boring. 260-6368 is the number. Help us out, folks.
We'll put that.
We're going to go back to Bordeaux now. Let's go back to Bordeaux.
Bordeaux, okay.
All right, so we went to Bordeaux.
Who's on Bordeaux? I mean, who's over there to talk to us?
Well, no one now.
Oh, I bet you there's somebody.
No one because it's closed today. But Bordeaux is the new Dominique McKay restaurant. And I actually have been three times. My third time.
I goofed up with him because I had lost track of where he was because he has moved from one restaurant to another, which is very common among chefs, especially good chefs like him. And he... and he had moved a little bit from one to another, and I kind of lost track of him. But the second I saw him at the restaurant last week, I just got a glance of his face. He has an unmistakable face. He's somebody who you'd recognize as well as, like,
Dominique.
Dominique, yeah. Why not? That's close up. But hey, he's a great guy. He's very funny. He's a terrific chef.
He really
and
is.
And it's great to have him back again. If only we could get him to turn the air conditioner on.
So Bordeaux, if you haven't been there, is mainly an outdoor restaurant. So picture Tom having dinner outdoors in his double shirts on a 100-degree day.
Double shirts?
Yeah, you have your little undershirt, and then you have your overshirt.
Yeah, so?
And... yeah, and so you have kind of a problem, I would think, in a 100-degree day. Anyway,
I'd just stay inside.
But you couldn't at this particular restaurant because there are only three tables inside, and all the other ones were outside. And the rotisserie is going, too, outside. So I didn't even go near the rotisserie to see if that was kicking off some heat, because it probably was. But it was delicious, and the people that we were with kept saying they're coming back in October, but I don't really see any need to wait until October because I would go sit out there anytime. It's quite lovely. It's charming is the word, and it's delicious. I would go back tomorrow.
Yeah, I would too. In fact, the day I was there, I had a lamb dish. It was a... if I remember correctly, it was lamb neck. Have you ever heard of that? That was very common in the 1980s and into the 90s.
Is that right?
A lot of people would, you know how you can get a lamb loin and the lamb ribs and all of that? This would be, no joke, the neck. And they would do it in a very subtle, careful way and then roast it just like you would do any other lamb dish. And boy, is that good.
Yeah,
they had this great mayonnaise-based
sauce
that went on this. I couldn't figure it out at all because I'd had it before somewhere else, but it looked familiar. Anyway, there it was, and there he was, you know, and doing this thing like he's been for a long time.
It was really, really good. It's unique. This whole rotisserie concept is. I mean, I know Z has been doing it for a long time, but in a place like this, it sort of elevates it, and I thought it was really great. I mean, I look forward to going back. We also had, we didn't have the lamb, but we had another dining experience where lamb was on the menu, along with absolutely every other imaginable food item in the universe, all on the same menu. Which is a red flag of the highest order to me.
Well, what was the deal?
When we
that?
Went to Kachina Kanjemi on the North Shore. Yes. Yes. I'm so disappointed. I was waiting. You know, we were talking about North Shore restaurants just a little while ago before we got on the air. And we were talking about having gone to Hambone yesterday.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when something is so incredible, you want to make sure it was real. So I decided to go back to Hambone to see if we imagined that dinner the other night, because it just couldn't have been that good. And so we went to brunch yesterday. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves because we have a whole bunch of dining out. And we'll just tell you all about it and take up the whole show, unless you want to call 260-6368.
Yeah, just call us and you can
and
change the whole conversation. You know,
because, you know,
you may as well.
Just yammering on.
We'll have more fun that way.
Yeah.
It's
anyway,
the food show. 260-6368. 260-6368.
Okay, so anyway, Kachina Kanjemi is a place that used to be the old New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood on Highway 22 in Mandeville. Big things happening over here. Kachina Kanjemi opened about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Nice
and Reginelli's opened just last Thursday. They haven't even been open a week. That's right there on the service road at the corner of 22 and 190.
Now this explains everything, because we went there and we had like late supper, early dinner.
Are you talking about Kachina Kanjemi?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we went to Kachina Kanjemi, and I was absolutely aghast at the size of the menu. I don't think I've ever seen a menu that large. It was really something. And it ran the gamut of every imaginable kind of cuisine. Even though it's supposed to be Mediterranean, I wouldn't have been surprised to see some Asian dish on the menu, because it's like, what restaurant, what could we possibly offer the outer limits of menus? And that's what's on the menu. So there was lamb meatballs was one of the appetizers. And I thought, well, how bad can this be if there's lamb meatballs on the menu? How, you know, I'm a little scared about the size of the menu, but lamb meatballs are on it. And that's kind of a classy dish. So how bad can this be?
Well,
let you wonder about that. 260-6368. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
You know what got...
We are back. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. Let's go to Gary. Gary?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm calling to tell you about Borden's.
Borden's,
please.
Yeah.
Yes.
The first job I had after college was I worked for 11 years at the Borden's Milk and Ice Cream plant on the airline highway.
I was about to ask you if that's where it was, but... There it was.
It was. It was a big white colonial building, and it had 17 acres of land in the back. And when it came time to sell most of the land, because the plants had been centralized around Louisiana, they sent a real estate lawyer down from New York. And when the general manager found out that he had sold 15 acres of property that abutted Old Metairie for $1 million, he almost died. The land was probably worth 10 times that, but the real estate lawyer from New York didn't realize where it was. And the plant made
that?
Milk
what
and
year
ice
was
cream.
That was going way back.
When they
sold
it, it was in the 80s. Yeah, I worked there from 67 to 78, and we made milk and ice cream in the plant there. The milk came from Kentwood, Louisiana, in tank trucks, and then we turned it into milk products, and of course they produced ice cream. And in the winter time,
Creole cream cheese
to the plant. The Creole cream cheese was actually made in a plant that they owned in Franklinton, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And
where was that exactly?
It was where most people remember it is right on Airline Highway, about halfway between the I-10 and Causeway Boulevard, about halfway in, and it didn't look like it belonged there at all. I mean, it was just
It was probably someone's farm.
Well, when it was built, it was very well liked because it was surrounded by all these nice parts of the world. But it was was one that a lot of people were very upset about losing.
Isn't there
about a mile from
Schwegen. Barbets or Borden's? That's in Central City. What is that? Is that Barbets?
Borden's is no longer located in the city.
Yeah. I see. Okay. Okay.
But in the wintertime, if you went to the ice cream plant, the ice cream superintendent would sometimes reach his, I was an accountant, but he would reach his ladle in the vat of Borden's Dutch chocolate ice cream that they were cooking and pour you a little bit in a cup. And it was like the richest hot chocolate you ever tasted in your whole life.
I can believe
it. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I love chocolate milk.
It was an international company that the headquarters was in New York and the regional office was in Houston, Texas. That's who we answered to.
I see. Well, thank you for the education because I've often wondered about that. So I appreciate
it. Very welcome.
Thank you. I wonder how many people are listening to us right now who at one time or another went to Borden's and had something to eat or drink in the way of dairy products, or come home with a little container of Creole cream cheese, which was something that by that time, nowhere in the world was there anything like that. And they kind of like rebuilt it for a while, and it lasted for a while, and then it went away for good. It's kind of hard to find.
Well, no, it's Moth, or I think that's how you say it, the dairy up in on the North Shore. It might even be in Franklinton. It's a small dairy. It's really great stuff, and they have it now. They've resurrected it. So you can get it, but it's not widespread. 260-6368 is the number. That's 260 Menu New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood is where you will find some great hamburgers from their extensive hamburger menu. They also have a great seafood menu, fried seafood, greaseless, golden brown, hot, delicious. You can get that on a platter or you can get it on a poor boy. They have good local specialties like red beans and rice. Good day to do that today. It's Monday. And now char-grilled oysters. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood now has char-grilled oysters. They have good salads, other kinds of sandwiches. It's a good casual, fast casual environment. Very nice place to sit. They have 10 locations around town, so go see them. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood.
Yeah.
All right. So we were talking about Bordeaux. So we went to Bordeaux over the weekend, and it was absolutely packed in there. And it is a small space. So I kind of admire that sort of restaurant design where you can cram that many people into a space that size and have it be doable. You know, there's a lot of people that were sitting on that little patio.
I was wondering who picked that idea.
I think it's great. I think it's then you can go down two steps and then there's a brick patio and there's more tables down there. But it was good. It was French food, but it was really light eating. You pretty much had a salad and some rotisserie meat. Which, what could be wrong with that? That was pretty darn good.
You know, in recent times, there was a period in the 70s and into the 80s where there was hardly any French cooking at all. No matter what you were looking for, you would look for real French cooking, and you wouldn't be able to find it. But that has changed, and in recent times it has changed dramatically. The number of French restaurants that have opened just in the last year, I don't remember anything like that. And the quality has been fantastic, too. So this is a good time to get into French cooking, and if you don't know anything about it, just go there and eat some things that sound good and enjoy. Have a glass of wine with it. Don't forget that.
You know, I think people automatically think of French food as being really caloric and rich. And it might be rich, but I will say that the kind of salad that you get in a French restaurant is unlike anything that we have here. It is usually a really eclectic, interesting, sometimes rare combination of lettuces.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Tossed in a dressing that is so light that it's barely noticeable, except in intense flavor. I think a French vinaigrette done well cannot be beat.
That is true if you actually have somebody who knows how to do it. The best,
yeah.
The best of ever was Gerard Crozier.
He did have a good dressing,
oh,
but I think this dressing best. That Dominique is serving is really extraordinary.
I could believe that.
Too.
He's one of
it's
those guys who knows it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So he's from Bordeaux, obviously. What was his first restaurant in the city? Do you remember?
I don't know. I want to say it was that restaurant, and I might be totally wrong about this. He was one of the restaurants that populated that building on Chapatula Street between Girard and Julia. And there was it has a different name now, but it was took up darn near the whole block. And they also got into a wine operation there. It was pretty nice, but the world didn't go for it very well, and they moved on.
Well, sometimes, if it's avant-garde, but I guess that he came here for some reason with someone to do something, and I don't know, maybe it's, his wife or something, but I just was curious as to how he arrived on the scene. I have seen him around town a bit. But anyway, welcome back. It's really delicious, really delicious.
And there's one other thing going on, and that is that French cooks are really, for the most part, they're not as fancy as you think they're going to be. They're good after the good flavors, good fresh products, and they get it. And they know that that's where the good food is to be found.
Yeah.
So.
Well, good food can be found
anywhere,
yeah. Also bad food.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately.
I know that.
Fortunately, I feel like bad food is not as easily found.
Lately it seems to me it keeps opening.
I think mediocre food is very easily found. Food that's
always
good, but not great, not bad. It's just fine. It's just fine. And you go there, wherever it is, you go and you eat the food as part of a social engagement, but you don't need to go back and eat that particular food again. And I think most food falls into that category, for me, anyway. But it's rare that you have really exceptional food in either direction. And we did this week. We had really exceptional great food, and we had really exceptionally bad food, too.
Oh, tell us
Same
about
weekend.
The bad food.
No.
there are a lot of people who want to know that. People walk up to me and ask me, tell me about a restaurant you've been to that was really awful. And I always ask, why? What do you want that for? What possible interest could you have in that?
Well, let's just say if you've been to Cucina Kangemi, I would be interested in hearing your opinion. I was very disappointed in that meal.
So was I.
Very disappointed.
But you explained it a little while ago, and that is this is a new restaurant. Really quite new.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure about this. I guess I could be wrong. Yeah, of course, I could give you a list. But anyway, there were a lot of restaurants that – wait, where was I going with this?
I was going to say that this restaurant reminds me of
it needed to be open a little bit longer so they could figure out what they were trying to do. And even the best chefs in restaurants have a problem with that.
I don't think that's true.
I
think there are some restaurants that open and they're good from day one. And I don't necessarily think – I think it's a nuanced formula, and it's not really even a formula at all. Sometimes the stars just align. and sometimes they crash into each other. And I don't think it's a matter of luck. I think that there are times when I think there are a lot of people out there who think, you know what, how hard can it be to open a restaurant? Everybody can do it. And I'm going to do it too.
They think they can.
This is what I'm saying. There are a lot of people that have that thought. And then sometimes people do that. And the stars do align for them. And I'm not saying that it's all luck. I think there are some people who just instinctively know how to put their pulse or their finger on the pulse of what people want. I'll give you a couple of good examples. The people who opened Mimi's in Chalmette, they sold flooring and then went into the restaurant business. Incredibly successful. They were smart enough to know to get a really good chef. And in the case with them, their stars did kind of align because that guy was from California where he was cooking in some great kitchens. And his wife was from here and in Chalmette. And that has been a marriage made in heaven. That is a great little restaurant.
That really is. If you've never been there, Mimi's
in Chalmette.
In Chalmette. It's on Hammond, not Hammond High, excuse me.
Judge Perez. And then the other one that I find fascinating is the Rum House.
You've been telling me about this place for a while yet, and I'm utterly
fascinated by it.
I still haven't registered a place in my brain where it is.
It's
and
not
what
your
it
kind
is.
Of place, so don't even
no?
bother.
But right, well,
the
tell
Rum
me anyway.
House, but the Rum House, is actually owned by my cousin's, husband's niece, who is in her 60s, and her second cousin, maybe, who is in her 30s. Different family relations, but not the same family. And these two women had no restaurant experience whatsoever, except a real instinct for what would sell, because the place is packed all of the time. And then the third one, and I'm sure there are others out there, but these three just come to mind. The Bennetts. Kevin Bennett and his two sons. Kevin Bennett owned that building on North Turnbull where Andy's is.
Is he the guy who used to be in the camera business?
Many years. They owned that building. He owned Speedy Oil Change, sold all of them. There were hundreds of them. Anyway,
he owned
that building as part of a real estate portfolio that he had. And he had several restaurants in and out of that building. And after the last one closed, he finally said, you know, how hard can this be? I'm going to go ahead and take this building and open it as a restaurant. And his own restaurant, with no restaurant experience, has been more successful in that space that he owned than any of the other places. And now they have a second location, 3B's, on Harrison in Lakeview. And those are just three examples. I'm sure there are others. But for every one of those, there's probably two or three dozen people who just take a shot at it with no experience and then fail miserably at it because it's not something that anybody can do.
It's not intuitive. You have to.
Well, I think it can be intuitive for some people. The three people I just named, apparently it is intuitive for them. But for most people, you don't just hang out your shingle and you're a restaurateur. And that's what I got. That's what I got from Kachina Kanjemi.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see what happens there. Hmm. Anyway, it was unfortunate because us people on the North Shore, we people on the North Shore, are always looking for more dining options, even though we have just quadrupled or quintupled them since we arrived on the scene over here. You know, if you eat it, well, I guess maybe most people don't eat out as much as we do, but we'd like some more restaurants over here.
Boy, is that the truth. I wound up with Mary Lee, our daughter.
Yes.
At the Chimes again.
Chimes has some a little bad press today.
Oh, did
Chimes
they?
Chimes has some very bad press today.
Well, they're out of oysters today, but a lot of people...
well, they've got much bigger problems than that.
A lot of people are out of oysters right now.
They've got much bigger problems than that. 260-6368 is the number. We started the show by talking about the fact that it is National Condensed Milk Day today. It is also... North and South American Cayenne Pepper Day and Soft Serve Ice Cream Day. So, you know, you could use all three of those things. You could take some condensed milk, put some cayenne pepper in it, and freeze it and make it a soft serve ice cream.
Mm-hmm. And if I could add just with this
that
little twinkle.
That doesn't have any appeal to me, but some crazy people like that kind of stuff. Go ahead, what?
Let me run this one by you. If you... we were just here talking about milks and all that. You would put that on a snowball, and a lot of people do.
Yeah, they do.
And a lot of people like that. And then you mentioned the spicy taste that gets in there too. Anybody have any connections with flavors that might not seem obvious at first, and then you try it once, and somehow it has a little exotic thing going on.
Yeah, I think a lot of people
do.
I think a lot of people do that because we were talking to Brian Gilmore over at Creole Creamery, who is the chef at Creole Creamery, and he was talking about some flavors that he likes to throw all kinds of flavors together, but he was talking about his chocolates, which have pepper in it and stuff like that.
Yeah, let's
not my thing at all, but there are people who like that.
Yeah, let's see if we can find any like that, because I know a lot. I remember first time I ever met somebody like that was putting Tabasco in ice cream. They said it was great. So what are you going to say?
Well, you know, when we had, we went to Fausto's the other day and had the limoncello gelato that he has made from his homemade gelato. I don't like limoncello at all. I mean, it's Everclear alcohol, for heaven's sake. And the fact that it was creamy in a gelato, I think, diluted the intense alcohol flavor, and it was actually pretty good. I don't find that to be the case with spicy things and creamy ice creams or anything like that. I am not a sweet and savory or sweet and spicy
I think you're sweet
person.
And not only that, but when we return at some point here, let's see, we are going to get into we have an not an article exactly, but it's something from our daily almanac about food. We'll have that in a minute, right? Or do we have something to do first?
No, we're going to go to the news in just a minute. But 260-6368 is the number. I'm waiting. It's really dark over on this side. It's going to be a pretty stormy evening, I think.
Certainly, all right.
But we have gobs and gobs of dining diary sorts of things to talk about. Honestly, we would prefer to talk to you. So if you would like, please give us a call. 260-6368 is the number. We are going to go to the news right now. But you are listening to WWL FM 105.3 HD2.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.